You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagora, Vic Carucci back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Dino, let's not waste any more time. Let's get right to it. It's Tuesday. It's just after 2:15. It's time for a little after further review.
After further review.
All right, gentlemen, let's get right to it. The big story around the NFL. This play last night.
From the 18 of Carolina. Second down. Brady moves up in the pocket. There's a line drive in the middle of the end zone. It's intercepted. A flag. A flag was thrown. It was intercepted in the middle of the end zone by Carolina and grabbed by Robert Lester. But a flag has been thrown in the middle of the end zone where there was all kinds of congestion.
This is going to be interesting as to whether or not it's on the Patriots. It looks like it's on the Patriots.
It is. It's over.
There's no foul on the play. The game is over.
Carolina has won.
Kevin Harlan, by the way, the call on Westwood 1. So, guys.
After further review.
That play should have been a penalty. Is that
fact or fiction?
Well, judging by Boomer Esiason's reaction, where he assumed it was on the Patriots because of how it ended the game, and in fact it was on, called on the Panthers, as we know, and picked up. The flag was picked up. The call was pulled back. That should have been a penalty, clearly. The fact that it was thrown in the middle of the end zone was the exact spot where Rob Gronkowski, and again, I'm not objective on Rob. This is a family friend, his whole family. I know these dudes, and I root for him individually. That won't for an upcoming game, but individually. He's coming back to the ball. He is clearly, Luke Kuechly is clearly hugging him out to keep him from that, doing probably the only thing he could do, because if he's trying to line up one-on-one with him, I'm thinking Rob's got a shot at making that catch at the very least, but that was a penalty.
There's no question it was a penalty. Luke Kuechly didn't even try to make a play on the ball. He tackled Rob Gronkowski without even looking. He had no idea the ball was thrown. He didn't know anything. He just said, I'm tackling Rob Gronkowski, taking him out of the play. So Gronk had no ability to come back for the football. So we don't know that it wasn't. I don't believe it was uncatchable. If Rob Gronkowski plants his foot, as athletic as he is, and dives back for the ball, he could have caught that football. So
it was only uncatchable because he kept him from getting to the spot where he needed to be to catch the damn ball.
Right. And now the rule would be that because it was intercepted, there can't be pass interference behind the point. That's fine. It's still a penalty, whether it's defensive holding. There was a penalty there. No question.
Contact.
Illegal contact. No question there was a penalty.
Yep.
In my mind, none whatsoever.
All right, guys.
After further review.
My teammate and colleague Tony Grossi today at ESPNCleveland.com wrote a good piece, I thought, discussing kind of the baffling Brown, the way the Browns have kind of put the roster together and have not had a true legitimate blocking fullback. So I'm asking you guys, do you agree the Browns needed and still need to have a legitimate blocking fullback? Is that
fact or fiction?
I think if you left it completely and solely up to Rob Chudzinski, there probably would be a blocking fullback on this team. I think that would be his preference to want that. I'm not sure philosophically if others agree with him, and therefore I think that explains why the setup is as it is. But I think, you know, if you really put it to the head coach, he would tell you he would feel better about that, and he knows, and he's worked with him before, when you have that guy, what it might mean to your running game. But I think philosophically, when I think about how Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi think about putting a team together, they're more along the lines of that other back being, or that fullback being, more the hybrid guy, more along the lines. He's not the ideal, but a Marquise Gray fits the prototype of an H-back slash, you know, fullback hybrid tight end.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So to me, it is fiction that the Browns need a full blocking tight end, fullback at all times. You look back to North Turner's offense, Mike Tolbert, I would say, is very much a hybrid kind of a fullback, and that is a guy who had a ton of success in that offense. To me, this is a team that is never going to be one that lines up in the I formation or an offset I and says, we're just going to run the ball and do power football running at you. That's not what's going to work. So to me, that is not an integral part of what they're trying to accomplish offensively. And they don't even have the running back, quite frankly, to run out of the I formation with a blocking fullback. So it would be a little bit of a waste.
It would be a waste.
But you guys understand the point, though, that one of the reasons why the Browns, you know, when they're on third and one or fourth and one, they've got to throw the football is because they're not able to run the football in a short yardage because they don't. You got to bring in Billy Winn to be the lead blocker.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams do that. Go ahead. I think it speaks to maybe what you don't have in the way of a line consistently that is, and we established this. They're not built to be a big power running line, and they're not in that mold. And I think that would maybe mitigate that need somewhat, but then the other part of it is you're also, you're a throw-first football team, and I think you're going to try to achieve those plays through the air. I look at the New England Patriots, the same type of team. I mean, what do they do in the way? They don't get in there and have real hammer mode that knocks people down and rush that way. They rush about as well as they can if the running backs hold on to the ball and they're talented enough to make plays. And I know they're getting a guy back, Ben Vereen, from injury. Shane Vereen. Ben Vereen,
singer?
Yeah, they're related somehow. they really are. And anyway, I would say no. That you don't. It's fiction.
Think about this too. The Baltimore Ravens have arguably one of the best blocking fullbacks in the league in Vontae Leach, and they're struggling to run the football. Maybe on an epic level.
Epic.
After further review.
Well, guys, how about this? The New York Giants have won 4 in a row. They're on their way to the playoffs. Is that
fact or fiction?
From that crazy NFC East, insert this, by the way. Shane Vereen is a cousin once removed from Ben Vereen.
That's
just
a good fact.
Google that.
That is a good fact.
A little factoid. But, yes, they in that crazy NFC East, how could you count them out? They could win their division because the rest of their teams in their division are so bad. And that is, I think the AFC North is a pretty bad division right now. I think the NFC East qualifies as the worst division, but maybe it's getting better, and the Giants are doing what Tom Coughlin's teams do. They get hot at the right time. They're starting to find their way.
I'm going to say that is fiction. The Philadelphia Eagles, to me, are the best team in the NFC East right now. I like the way they're playing. They have a little bit of an advantage over the New York Giants at this juncture, sitting at 6-5. The Giants could get within a game of them 5-6. But I think with Nick Foles at quarterback, LeSean McCoy.
Do you think Foles is sustainable through the rest of the season?
I don't think he's going to continue to play flawless football without an interception. I think he's going to turn the ball over, but he's playing
and a touchdown.
He's playing great. When you look at the weapons they have and Chip Kelly's offense over the course of the season, I think has proven to be very effective and not just a gimmick. I think they get the job done.
I like their offense. I don't believe it. I would believe in another quarterback, and I'm not saying it would be Michael Vick. I'm just saying I can't buy that Foles is legit enough to take them the whole way. I do think because they know the way, there's something to be said for Eli Manning and the Giants knowing the path.
But Eli Manning's having a dreadful season.
They're coming around.
It's one of those two.
He's done this before.
The Cowboys are fatally flawed on defense. The Redskins are having internal, external, offensive, defensive issues. They're out of it. It will be Philly or the Giants. I think Philly will be the ones to get the job done.
Okay.
After further review.
Despite the snafu by the officials in that first quarter, Rob Chudzinski should have gone for it on that fourth and goal from around the two. Is that
fact or fiction?
I don't know how big a deal it is. I know there was the officiating snafu that contributed to the decision making of it. You asked the question, so I'm going to give the answer. I'll say fiction.
I'm going to say fiction as well. I can't say definitively that's what it should have happened, so I'm going to say fiction. Plus, the Browns in this game didn't seem to have that execution moxie on fourth down that they had against the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a good word. That's a very good word.
After further review.
Not as good as Mahonkers.
No, not as good as that. Outside of Andy Reid, the NFL's best coaching job this season It's been done by Arizona's Bruce Arians. Is that
fact or fiction?
Boy, I know. It's Ron Rivera in Carolina by a long
Riverboat
shot.
Riverboat Ron.
Ron Rivera Ron. Has taken a team that, I mean, think about what they were, what the scrutiny and what the conversation was. He was thought to be out of a job, not only possibly before the season, but easily within the first quarter of the season. And there was a coach death watch, if you will, on in Carolina. I know for a fact, in talking to a lot of folks who are around that football team, cover that team, are around that football team, gave Dave Gettleman, the new general manager, put everyone on notice in that building, and they've responded, especially Cam Newton. Cam Newton, I thought, came of age last night as a player, just looked like the more complete and disciplined and mature guy.
Outdueled Tom Brady in that game.
He sure did.
I'm going to go another direction, and I'm going to go with Mark Trestman of the Chicago Bears. You look at the injuries they've had on their defensive line. Look at the injuries they have had at their linebacking core. Now they don't have Peanut Tillman. They're down Jay Cutler. They've had to bring Josh McCown in, and this offense has not missed a beat. And I found one of the things that he said fascinating after the win over the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if you got to see either his postgame press or read the article on the internet about his rationale for not utilizing his timeouts at the end of that game. So basically saying either they're going to score and beat us, they are going to kick a field goal, we're going to go to overtime, not using his timeouts. And he was sitting there as a head coach on the sideline saying that, you know, drives that start from the 16-yard line have a 13% chance of ending in a touchdown. And he went through the rationale about the packages that they would be able to use if he called a timeout and allowed them to get into their red zone package, as opposed to continue to make them utilize their no-huddle packages and the limited play set from the study they knew of the plays they had to run given the particular situations. And just the fact that that was all going on in his head, and he's clearly a quarterback whisperer, I am very impressed with what Mark Trestman has done in Chicago.
I love Trestman. You love Trestman because he's an analytics guy.
True.
And he's a brilliant guy. By the way, he's a lawyer. I mean, he's got a law degree.
It's working.
He's
a bright, if you were to tell me that Jay Cutler was going to miss three games, that their defensive line would be without three starters, that two of their top linebackers would be gone, and their number one corner would miss time this season, and that they would be 6-4 in that tough division, I'd say no way, and that's a testament to what he's done.
I think that he's a big part of that story, and he has to have some credit for McCown's play.
It's the best he's ever played.
What McCown has done, Josh McCown has done, has been impressive. But I'm sticking with Ron Rivera. I just think this, first of all, this Carolina team's going places. This Carolina team could win its division, and this Carolina team, Carly McCord's shaking her head because she's a Saints fan from Louisiana, y'all. But I still think
go Saints, GEAUX.
That's right,
GEAUX.
I like Mark, and that would be great if he could win that, and maybe it will. You know, these next 6 weeks could change the story for Kansas City. We'll see.
Let's go ahead and beat Mark Trestman when he comes here to Cleveland later on this season.
That would be nice. All right, one more, you guys.
After further review.
All right, Carly's not going to like this, but I got to ask. To this point, and I'm just saying to this point, Barkevious Mingo has been a disappointment. Is that
fact or fiction?
It's Carly says fiction. I agree. It's fiction, not a disappointment. He's hit something of a rookie wall, I think, in many ways. And he has not played as impressively these last couple of games, especially this last one, as he did earlier. But I don't think it's anything that tells me he's any kind of a bust or disappointment. I would not use those words to describe what he's about. And I would be surprised if it wasn't a stronger finish for him in this defense.
Yeah, I think that Barkevious Mingo is showing that he is young and that he still needs, I believe, to add a little bit of size to his frame so that he can be more effective against the run. But clearly the athleticism and the raw talent and his speed, his ability to get to the quarterback are on display. He's always around the quarterback. So, no, I believe he will be a very effective pass rusher in the NFL. I'd like to see him be able to bulk up a little bit without losing the speed, if that's possible, so that he can be a little bit better against the run. Because you see sometimes in the run game, he kind of can get washed out of there. If he can't keep his pad level low, if he gets up, he's easily moved by bigger offensive linemen. So that could be an issue, but certainly no. I do not believe he is a disappointment. A disappointment is Anthony Bennett drafted by the Cavaliers. That is a disappointment.
All right, guys, and that is this week's edition of After Further Review.
Sweeping the nation.
Yes,
good
it is.
Stuff. All right, we've got Gerard Cherry coming up. We want more of your calls at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and tweet us at Browns_Daily. Want to hear from you. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, a Football Tuesday, Cleveland Browns Daily, ESPN 850, WKNR. Under the seat of my big black jacked up.